Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, live in Los Angeles, hour 2 on a Friday. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me in a couple of minutes. My Blazing 5 picks. It is a it's a weird week. I tend to be, my belief in betting is take points. Especially if you have a competent quarterback, take points. Fans generally take favorites. Now, this week was a very weird week, Joy, because if you looked at the lines initially, I liked almost every favorite. So I had to dig this week because I'll never take 5 favorites. I almost never take 4 favorites. I'd always rather take underdogs. That has, over the last 20 years, all but last year, worked. Take underdogs. We are getting into a more offensive league. There's a lot more points scored. I mean, do you think those two quarterbacks last night are great quarterbacks? No. The final score is 30-29. Like, right. We're in an offensive league, which with some COVID opt-outs. And I mean, it's last year was a tough year, 2-3 the first week. So all the lines provided by Fox Bet Sportsbook. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Blazing 5.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing 5. Saints at Panthers.
I'll take Carolina plus 3.5. Second straight home game. Saints, second straight road game. They're living out of hotels and stuff, folks. So it's a really interesting effect happening right now with Carolina. The Matt Rule effect. Since the start of last year with Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold, Carolina has had the fewest 3-and-outs in the NFL. What? With Bridgewater and Darnold, this is a really well-coached offensive team. Fewer than Kansas City. Fewer than Cleveland with that run game. Fewer than Baltimore. Fewer than Tampa. They also held the Jets to 45-yard rushing and had 187 yards with McCaffrey. They run it and don't let you run it. They're getting 3.5. The hook's the half point. I'm going to take Carolina to win. Saints come back down to earth. 28-23 Panthers.
It's at Colts.
Rams at Colts. I'm going to take the Colts. Plus 3.5. You know my rule, well-coached, good teams that play like crap always bounce back. Colts were awful last week. They got pushed around the field. Jonathan Taylor has topped 100 yards from scrimmage in 5 of his last 7 games. In fact, since week 11 last year, only Derrick Henry has more yards from scrimmage than Jonathan Taylor. How do you beat the Rams? You take the ball out of Sean McVay's hands. This offensive line, pushed around last week, will rebound this week. Also, the Colts have lost 8 straight week 1 games. They've won week 2 in each of the last 3 seasons. Well-coached team bounces back, upsets the Rams, who are on cloud 9, 27-26 Colts.
49ers at Eagles.
This is an interesting game. You know, I was down on Philadelphia. But Philadelphia is at home opener, San Francisco road, second straight week. So mobile quarterbacks have given the Niners trouble through the years. That defensive line, they love Jared Goff. They love guys that go back and stand. Jalen Hurts moves around. One of 5 quarterbacks in league history with 1,000 passing yards and 200 rushing yards in his first 5 career games. And I like this. The Eagles' defense against the high-powered Falcons totally shut them down. Atlanta always scores at home. Couldn't move the chains with a veteran quarterback, star tight end, star receiver, and good O-line. Also, Philadelphia was 3-for-3 in the red zone. Touchdowns. What does it tell me? The line play for Philadelphia was the secret sauce last week with a mobile quarterback at home. The Niners have lost their best corner for the year. It looks like Philadelphia's got a couple stars at wide receiver. Upset. Take the points. Philadelphia beats the Niners 24-23.
Raiders at Steelers.
You know, I don't love big numbers and favorites, but like it, I love it. Take the Steelers -6.5 against the Raiders. Short week for the Raiders, played on Monday night, and they got to travel cross country. The defense in week one was relentless against an offensive line for Buffalo that's at least as good or better than the Raiders. No quarterback in the league struggles more under pressure than Derek Carr and Matt Ryan. Derek Carr under pressure last week against the Ravens, 1-for-9 with a pick. Derek and Matt, and I like both, get ugly fast with pressure. The relentless Steelers defense will own the Raiders 30-23 or worse, Pittsburgh.
Cowboys at Chargers.
I'm going to take the Chargers -3.5. The Sharps like the Cowboys. Here's what I can't get over. Yes, Dallas will probably be the home team, 75-25 fans. Yes, Dallas has extra time, but they've had multiple injuries up front. Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence won't play. In the back end of their secondary, multiple injuries. Think about this. The Cowboys didn't get a sack on Brady, and they only got 2 hits on Brady. Okay, so Justin Herbert against a significantly better defensive front was unbelievable on third down. Had nothing but time to throw. So Justin Herbert now, with more time to throw and a worse secondary, a beat-up Cowboys secondary, I like the Chargers here. Remember, they've won 5 straight games. They ended last year when they got healthy on a 5-game winning streak, and that's with a coaching staff that got run out. The Cowboys are 0-17 since 2019, scoring less than 30 points. I don't think they're going to have the ball enough. I think the Chargers are going to control the clock and the game. Chargers win. I'll take a -3.5. I'd like it more if it was -3, but 3.5 the hook. I'll take the Chargers to win 33-27. So I got 3 dogs, and I'll take 2 favorites. My favorite bet of the week is the Steelers over the Raiders. I got the Panthers +3.5. Eric Fisher will play for the Colts +3.5. Eagles +3 with an upset. And I'll take the favored Steelers and the favored Chargers. You know who told us Justin Herbert was going to be great when everybody was saying, oh no, it was TJ Hushmanzada. 11 years in the league, a pro bowler, joins us now, Fox Sports analyst. You know, it's interesting. I've heard this before. Not everybody handles success well as a pro athlete. Generally, athletes handle failure the same way. They work harder, they put their head down, they work out long. But success is funny. And so I saw that Cleveland was almost a 13-point favorite this week at home, and that's the biggest line for the franchise in 21 years. And I thought, oh boy, now come expectations. Big favorite. You're going to crush them. Go back to your Cincinnati days. Bad franchise. Not a lot of success. Then you start winning a little bit. Is it hard for non-winners who become winners and favorites? Did you see certain players that just didn't handle success well or expectations well?
You know what's crazy, Colin, is when you're playing, everybody thinks they're going to be good until week 1 or 2, you get your butts kicked. You're like, oh my God, is it going to be like this all year? The Cleveland Browns, I guarantee they feel really confident in themselves because the game isn't won or lost on one play. But if that punter doesn't drop the ball, and he actually, when he dropped it, could have actually picked it up and punted it, he tried to run with it, they probably feel they beat the Chiefs. And so confidence, albeit whether it's fake or not, whether it's too much or it isn't, they feel good about where they are because if you look at their team, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they feel good? You go top to bottom, they don't have weaknesses. When I played and we're in Cincinnati, we felt like we could beat anybody in 05, 06, 07. But the thing is, if the Browns don't win this game, they're going to start to second guess themselves and say, ah, are we as good as we thought we were? And so they need to win this game, which I believe they will handle.
So it was the one – Blazing five bet I didn't make. I would have taken Cincinnati and Joe Burrow to go into Chicago with a point and a half and win, but I didn't take it. It didn't make it. I have concerns about their defense. But Joe Burrow, and you know him well, and you've seen him train, and we heard all these reports about he was a little gun-shy. We heard all these reports about Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch the ball. And I watched Joe Burrow last week, and I got to tell you, I didn't see any signs of it. He got hit a lot. I didn't see any signs of it. By the way, Ja'Marr Chase, despite all the reports, I didn't see all the drops. I thought that was an incredibly encouraging win. I think the Vikings are well coached. I think they have some firepower. I think that's a really impressive win for Cincinnati. Your takeaway on Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and what you saw.
I had the Bengals last week against the Vikings, and I actually have them again this week against the Bears. The Bengals, Joe just has this confidence about him, man. It's almost crazy. It's hard to explain. He was sacked five times. And so the nervousness of his knee, you get sacked, you're kind of nervous, you get up, oh, it's fine. You get sacked again, oh, it happened five times. Joe's going to move away from thinking about it very, very soon. Defensively, the Bengals can be whatever they are. The Bears don't scare you. Their offense doesn't scare you. Andy Dalton wouldn't throw the ball down the field. So when Justin Field does enter the game, that's what you expect. Andy Dalton's going to be fired up. He may be too fired up. He may try to force passes and plays that aren't there because obviously the Bengals drafted him. He had a ton of success there. Ja'Marr Chase, and I said it, I'm not concerned about the drops. He's going to drop balls throughout the course of the season. We all do. He was the first receiver picked for a reason. I'm sure he's feeling very good about himself. He said he wanted to put Patrick Peterson on his highlight tape. I don't know if he did that, but he was fine. And I like the Bengals to beat the Bears. Like, the Bears, that offense scares you?
You know, it's interesting. Giants, Washington, kind of a mess. These are not great teams, obviously, but this is what struck me, is that Washington, with a defensive coach, was willing to let Taylor Heinicke throw it 46 times. I mean, you know how defensive coaches are. Marvin Lewis, you had one. Pete Carroll. They want to run the ball and win with defense. We got a kid in his third career start, and they almost threw it 50 times. The Giants keep telling me they love Daniel Jones, but on that drive late, they couldn't run the football the whole game. Saquon had one run. And I looked at that kind of conservative play calling. Maybe it's just Jason Garrett. That's his reputation. But when I watch the Giants, they say they love Daniel Jones, but I don't necessarily see they trust him. Or am I wrong? Do you think they trust Daniel Jones with the play calling and what you saw last night?
You know, this is what I will say. Answer the question, no. You need to see what you have in Daniel Jones. And so you could have drafted a quarterback this year. You didn't. You need to see if he's that quarterback of the future. I will say this, though. Last night watching that game, the first 15 plays that Jason Garrett scripted, I was like, oh, Jason Garrett, he on his thing today. Like, he's doing a hell of a job with these first 15 scripted. It was after that where it was just like, come on, Jason. Come on, Coach Garrett. Like, where's the creativity? It was one of those things where you're not going to be able to run the ball that effectively on Washington. That defensive line and all those guys they have up front, challenge them down the field. And Joe Judge said it, and I remember this. I remember him and Adam Gase because of the bug eye. Joe Judge said, we will be fundamentally sound. We will not beat ourselves. Well, you beat yourself last night.
Yeah.
You did exactly what you said you wouldn't do at your introductory news conference when you got the job. They played to not lose that game. They felt they were in field goal range. We're going to play it safe. We're just going to run, and kick this field goal, and our defense is going to stop them. It didn't happen. But you need to put the ball in Daniel Jones. The season's over. 0-2, you're not making the playoffs. It is what it is. See what you have in Daniel Jones moving forward.
I'm not surprised at all. I trust your judgment. I thought Justin Herbert, Joy and I had said it. We saw him at the Rose Bowl and we're like, and it was funny because I remember talking to Tom Telesco, the GM of the Chargers, and he liked him a lot, but he wanted to go see him live. So he went to the Rose Bowl and he said at halftime, it's like, all right, that's our guy. We like him because you got to see guys live. And he does jump out. You said this when you see him on a practice field or a game live, he's even more impressive. But I'll tell you something. What really jumped out to me last week, and this is kind of a veteran thing, they play the Cowboys this week. He may throw the best back shoulder throw in this league outside of Aaron Rodgers. I am just so surprised how his game looks so old. And maybe it's because he started so many games at Oregon. But, I mean, your first impressions of him, I remember it was the size. You kept saying his calves, he's big, he's huge. What do you make of his growth, his development, as he hosts the Cowboys this weekend?
I'm not surprised. His growth has been what I thought. And you got to understand, when Justin was out there on the field with us, there were also a lot of other quarterbacks on the field with us that were drafted fairly high that same year. And he stood out amongst other guys that were drafted very high. And so I knew right away, I'm like, this dude, and I was talking to John Beck about it, like, this dude is going to be special. And because I understand the game of football, I know what I was looking at. And I'm not surprised. He's a big kid with a big arm, and he's a really good athlete. He's not just a big guy that's stationary. Like, he can get out and run. He's a talented athlete, not just a football player, but he's quiet, but he's a leader. It's just really the fact that he started and played so many games at Oregon. I don't know if people know this, but he was a tutor, because he's a very smart dude. So he was a tutor in college. So to be able to tutor just regular students in college, you can relate to everyone. He wasn't that, oh, I'm the quarterback, starting quarterback in Oregon, I'm not doing this. People person, and the way he's playing, exactly how I thought he would.
All right, well, I'll just ask you, I will not lead you in any direction, because I am an honesty broker. This show is journalism, so I'm just going to lay it out there. The reigning MVP was the worst quarterback in the league in week one. He had the noisiest offseason. What did you make of the Packers' opening week? What did you make of it?
I was shocked. I was shocked. And the football guys, they have a way of humbling you and telling you, this is what you do, stick to what you do, shut your mouth, go play football, us will do it again. And I believe he got the message. I watched that game and I was just like, wow. I mean, you would have thought Jameis Winston was Aaron Rodgers and vice versa. And so it was shocking to say the least, but I will say I do believe Green Bay will bounce back. They're too talented, and Aaron Rodgers is too talented of a quarterback not to.
TJ Hushmanzada on a Friday. Great seeing you, Zoe. You know, you're always well-dressed for this show. You're such a professional, just like you were as an athlete. Look at you. You look like you're going to a board meeting or something. Good seeing you, buddy.
I appreciate it. You guys take care.
Yeah. It's you know, when we show those Justin Herbert highlights, I remember, I've said this before, years ago, I was sitting on a couch in Vegas with a friend. It was like 20-some years ago, and I'm watching Jordan. And Jordan wasn't the strongest athlete. Dominique Wilkins had a better vertical. Michael wasn't the best shooter in the league. But it always looked so easy with Michael. He's 6'6". And I always thought, the league is full of 6'6 guys. Why is Michael so much better than all the other 6'6 guys? Like, and it was just, he made it look so easy. And through the years, what I've found is, if a guy makes it look easy, they're really naturally gifted. When you watch Justin Herbert throw the football, just his feet, the way he drives it, it is so easy looking. And a lot of great, like Russell Wilson is not always easy looking. I mean, Russell's running around and he's trying to create space so we can see. And I don't think Brady, it's always easy looking with Tom. God, with Herbert, it's just like it's in a Nerf ball and he's throwing it to his kids. It's just boom, boom, boom. He sets his feet. The ball comes flying out. He is so accurate on the toughest throws, those back shoulder throws, right there. Most guys starting, you know, he had a stat last year that was remarkable. He led the league throwing under pressure. That is unheard of.
With that offensive line.
It is unheard of in the league. The guy who, that's what Aaron leads in. That's what a scrambler leads in. A pocket guy led the NFL with the second lowest rated O-line in throwing under duress. His passer rating was like 99. I mean, that's a guy that this game comes easy. So when I watch Justin, I'm like, I don't even, what's the ceiling look like? He's this good now. Like with Mahomes, we saw him initially. It's like Andy Reid says, he didn't, I mean, Mahomes admitted year two, yeah, I can't read a defense yet. Uh-oh. Oh, we got problems here in the AFC. Justin Herbert, what is his ceiling? He's working with a good O-line for only the second game. That's why I like him over the Cowboys. I'm not betting against this kid much going forward. He is really special.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This weekend on Fox, start Saturday strong with the big noon kickoff pregame show at 10 a.m. Eastern, live from Norman. Then at noon Eastern, dual threat Adrian Martinez leads Nebraska against Spencer Rattler and third-ranked Oklahoma. A huge Big Noon Saturday begins at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
More thoughts on that game we all watched last night. So my takeaway watching the Giants in Washington last night was, Dallas, here's your division. So we just watched half of the NFC East. That was not great football. 20 penalties, one team with a backup quarterback, another team with a quarterback they don't really trust. Both teams tried to give the game away. The Giants eventually did. The Giants, through 2 weeks, could not run the football against Denver and could not run it against Washington. Washington has a little bit of a run game, and they lost to a good Chargers team. They deserve credit, but they're on a backup quarterback. So, Dallas, you got the best quarterback in your division. You still have, maybe by an inch over Philadelphia, the best offensive line in your division. You have the best wide receiver group in your division. In an offensive league, you got the best quarterback, the best receivers, and probably the best offensive line. And an offensive coach who won a Super Bowl. So my takeaway, the Giants wide receivers are dropping passes. They're fighting. Kenny Galladay's yelling at people. Washington is sort of duct taping. Terry McLaurin's their one great offensive player. He is really good. They're duct taping this offense together now. At this point, you're just kind of, I mean, you got converted guy here and a converted guy there. So I've seen Washington play two times. I've seen the Giants play two times. I know one thing about these two teams. There's one unit on either team that is outstanding. Washington's defensive front. And in two games, they haven't played outstanding. I mean, so that's what I've seen. After two games, I kind of know what I see. One unit on either team is really, really talented, like indisputably. Washington's D-line. And they're not performing to the level they should. So this division, Dallas, here it is. It's an offensive league. You got the, I mean, Barkley, Saquon Barkley's probably the best running back in the division. But you got the second best running back. You got the first best quarterback. You probably have tied the first best offensive line, offensive coach. I don't know. That's what I kept watching. I'm like, oh, here's your division. Here it is. It's right there for you. No excuses now. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, speaking of that game last night, Taylor Heinicke stepped in for the injured Ryan Fitzpatrick and got his first start this season. He completed 34 of 46 passes for 336 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception in Washington's 30-29 win over the Giants, and he thinks he's done enough to cement himself as the starter.
I do, and I have confidence that I can do it. So if those guys in the locker room and the facility believe in me, that's all that matters. And I think they do. So let's try to keep this ball rolling.
Ryan Fitzpatrick opted for rehab instead of surgery on his hip, so he is expected to be out 8 weeks. It was a short week for Washington, so it's not terribly surprising that they didn't go and do something aggressive at the quarterback position. I mean, yeah. Taylor Heinicke, we saw a little bit of him last year. He was capable, and obviously he did a nice job last night. I think I'm sold on him being the starter for the rest of the season. Yeah. I mean, you weren't aggressive in the offseason, right? So now in order to get someone of a higher caliber than this, you're going to have to give up a significant amount in a trade.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're not going to bring Cam Newton in because of Ron Rivera.
Listen,
I don't know. I think you ride out with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's you like him. You've been saying this, Sal. There's something there. He's got that, you know, he's not ideal size. He does not have an ideal arm. He doesn't have ideal legacy. He doesn't have the ideal number of starts. But there is something to be said on a team built around defense. He's a gamer. And I will say this. He and McLaurin,
they've got something.
Yeah, they've absolutely got something. They run the ball. In this division, where you've got a Daniel Jones, a Jalen Hurts. Again, if we were in a division and it was Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford, I don't know if I would think like that. But in this division, outside of Dak, I'm like, he's a gamer.
Well, I don't think Washington's going to win the division anyway, and I thought that they should have been more aggressive in the offseason. But since you didn't do that, I mean, this is the situation that you're in. Like, yeah. I did not like their quarterback situation, which obviously included Taylor Heinicke going into this season. You have an elite unit in Washington. Obviously, they haven't played to that level yet in their defensive line. But, you know, you have a good defense there. You have good offensive weapons. You have a Super Bowl caliber coach in Ron Rivera. Yeah. Be aggressive. But since you weren't aggressive, this is now the situation that you're in. Ryan Fitzpatrick is out 8 weeks. And everybody has their guys. Like, you're now in a situation where you have to make a trade. What is out there on the market? You know, it's unlikely that you're going to bring in Cam Newton into this situation, which actually at this point, I don't know that that would benefit Cam Newton or you, because you're bringing him in 2 games into the season on your third week.
You know, it is interesting. There is one quarterback out there. It's really funny. I think he's the best backup in the league. Nick Foles has played 6 playoff games. He's won 4. And his passer rating in those playoff games has been a 98 with 11 touchdowns and like 4 picks. Foles is the guy. There's no glamour to Nick at all. No. He's like beyond humble. But it is funny. We talk Garoppolo. Is if you look at Nick Foles' history, he is as good as his coaching. When Nick had Andy Reid, pretty good. When he had Doug Peterson, offensive mind from the Andy Reid tree. Foles, everybody, your initial instinct when I said his name is everybody goes, all I'll say this about Nick Foles. Go look at his career. He's got a winning career record, which is almost unheard of as a backup.
Yeah.
He's a winning record. If you go look at Nick Foles in big spots, and that's really important, in critical games.
Yeah. Does he win?
He's pretty darn good.
So you would feel better about Washington
with Nick Foles, who has a better arm
than with Taylor Heinicke.
I absolutely would. But there's something about Nick Foles. Joy's eyes, the minute I said Nick Foles, you do what... And by the way, Nick needs the right support and coaching.
Yes.
And when he has it, Doug Peterson, Andy Reid, in the biggest games... He's pretty darn interesting. I think I would look strongly at Foles.
Well, it seems that they feel confident in Taylor Heinicke, but if they are going to look at someone, Nick Foles would be a good option. So Justin Fields still is not the Bears' starting quarterback, but he did make his debut in week 1 and completed a couple passes and rushed for a touchdown. And Matt Nagy is happy about how they are using Fields in the offense right now.
How much value does he have, I guess, as a chess piece within your game planning?
Yeah, I think he provides a lot of value now that we're here at this point and we're not in training camp and the guessing game or whatever. When you have a guy like Justin, teams, when they see that, now they got to prepare in certain ways for certain things they may think of or not think of. So it just can help us that way too.
What happens, hypothetically speaking, if – they continue with Andy Dalton for a couple more games and they're average at best, and then they put Justin Fields in and he looks great. What happens then?
Oh, then it's Justin Fields' team.
No, it's Justin Fields' team. But what happens as far as Matt Nagy goes?
Well...
Because, like, the entire idea of Justin Fields not starting is that he's not ready, right? Like, otherwise, why would he not be out there?
Right.
We know what Andy Dalton... There's no question in anyone's mind of the capability of what Andy Dalton is in his ceiling.
I told you, if I was USC, the two coaches I would look at, number 1 and 2, are Doug Peterson on the beach and Matt Nagy, because Matt Nagy got Trubisky to the playoffs twice. I think this season is so hard. I think we talked about this before the season. Matt Nagy had the toughest job in the league. Somebody upstairs made a promise to Andy Dalton. You got to play Andy Dalton. He looks awful. He makes the mistakes. So what happened last week that really hurts Joy is the reason you started Andy, because he won't make the mistake.
Right.
And he threw a red zone pick. You're like, well, what's the point then? If Justin Fields gives you juice.
What is the point?
Right. So it wasn't that Andy lost. It was the fact that you got no juice with him at all. They threw nothing over 9 yards. Andy made a huge, crucial red zone mistake. Well, that's why you're starting him. So here's my takeaway. What happens this weekend if Joe Burrow comes out? And I'm telling you that offense is fun, and it's a downfield offense, and he is just sprinkling. Because we know the secondary for the Bears is vulnerable. At halftime, you got no juice, and you can't stop Cincinnati. Okay, that's the question at halftime. You're down 27-10, and you can't stop them, so you need juice. Do you just go to Justin Fields at half?
So you think that this is coming down, and sometimes this happens because coaches can't really talk about this, and even when they leave places, they are kind of held to certain information not getting out. You get the kind of feeling that this is about a promise made to Andy Dalton and that Matt Nagy is kind of subject to this decision?
I believe the front office said in the negotiations, you're our starter regardless of who we draft. So they go with it. And I think Nagy, and I've said this before, I think Matt Nagy has no personnel power in this organization. I trust Nagy. I don't trust the Bears front office.
Yeah.
And so my takeaway is there is that Matt Nagy is left to clean up a bad offensive line and several picks up front that haven't worked. He is left. I mean, basically, I don't think Matt Nagy wanted Mitch Trubisky. He was, you know, well, actually, I think he came after Trubisky was there. So Matt Nagy's basically, hey, your quarterback's Trubisky. That wouldn't have been Nagy's choice.
So he's cooking with somebody else's ingredients.
That's right. Here's your offensive line. So the bottom line is whoever's quarterback, it's a bad offensive line. They've drafted two guys this year, one or two last year. So a lot of times coaches are stuck with the power of the GM and the ownership. And I think Nagy is doing a really good job. That's why I support him. I think he's doing a really good job to clean up everybody else's mistakes and messes. I think he would go with Justin Fields, but you're not going to say that publicly.
No, he can't.
No, so I think you're basically the Trubisky situation. You're doing the best with what you could. You got him to the playoffs. This is not my intel. It's my opinion.
Right.
Is that ideally?
No, but that would make sense because to me it feels like Nagy and GM are coaching and GMing for their jobs. And then in that situation, you would just want to win games. You would just want to win enough to keep your job and then, you know, turn it over to Justin Fields next year. Or if Andy Dalton is a disaster, then, you know, it makes it easier. But he hasn't been a disaster as of yet. He's just not been great. But that makes a lot of sense because often coaches are in situations where the front office or the ownership is putting pressure or saying this is what needs to happen. And they can't talk about that publicly. So because it's starting to feel like ridiculous. Like,
we knew in New England the draft picks were Bills.
Right.
We knew that. We know in Seattle, Pete Carroll has huge influence. We know in
Kansas City.
In Indianapolis, the GM makes the call.
Yeah.
There are certain, and I think in Chicago, Nagy is just, he doesn't get to do the shopping. He's just left with the ingredients, and that's why I've always credited him.
The ingredients is kind of someone else's recipe, too.
Yeah, so that's why people, why are you so naggy? He doesn't have a lot of power and personnel here. He's doing the best he can with what I believe is a suboptimal GM.
So Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy has been mentioned as a potential candidate for the USC head coaching job, but when asked about the rumors, he made it clear he is focused on Kansas City.
I think you guys know me better than that. So if USC reached out to me right now, my answer would be I am preparing, all right, for this team to play against the Baltimore Ravens. And that's how I roll. You guys know that. I am where my feet are, okay? My job is to make sure that we're ready to play a complete, sound, 60-minute football game where we can come out and win the game.
I love that. I'm going to steal that line. I am where my feet are.
It is really good.
It's a really good line.
It is. It's strong.
I'm where my feet are. So this is where I am today. And what it was, I'm a reporter. You're a reporter. And ask me about USC job.
Hey, Colin, are you interested in taking the USC job?
I am where my feet are. Mm-hmm. You're trapped. You can't go anywhere.
You can't.
Where do you go from there?
It is. It's a good answer. The USC, I mean, there's so much conversation about
Joy,
and surrounding this job.
They're not going to hire till after the season. There's been 9 guys rumored, and they've got good jobs. Bieniemy,
Urban Meyer, Franklin,
Josh McDaniel,
PJ Fleck, Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell.
This is the biggest college football hire west of the Mississippi, I can make the argument, in 10 years.
It is significant. And for what USC has been, I get it. Fans are going to, you know, poke fun or whatever. But the brand is the brand at the end of the day. And, you know, not to be coastal elitist or anything, but it's Los Angeles. Like, it is a big place with big power and big influence and big names and big stars. And it is a big brand
and
still in a big, massive Hollywood town.
And some universities almost always get it right. Ohio State almost always gets it right. Ohio State did Luke Fickell for a year in transition. That wasn't really the true hire. And then he got a job in Cincinnati. But I mean, like, Urban was right. And Tressel worked. And then Woody Hayes was great. And then Earl Bruce was great. Their miss was John Cooper, and he won 10 games. USC's the opposite. They've had big misses. They get about every third coach right. So Ohio State almost, I mean, Ohio State has never really whiffed in my lifetime. Oklahoma whiffed once. They usually get it right. Oklahoma almost always gets it right. Ohio State gets it right. Alabama's had a lot of whiffs. USC, so it's very political environment at USC, and a lot of people with power, and the president gets a lot of voices, and it's very interesting.
And in this particular time and all of the influences and the implications of TV contracts and really where the program is, you got to get it right.
Oh, the TV contracts around the corner.
Like whoever you hire, even if you don't know if they're going to be successful, when the name is announced, everyone has to be like, that makes sense.
I was on the phone yesterday with somebody in the circle who will have a say. And this person said it's the biggest football hire in the history of the university. And this person will be in that circle of 7 to 8 people.
I don't think that's
hyperbole. Yeah. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
A lot of stuff there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Defy your age with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men, supports healthy T levels, keeps you lean and energized. You know, my mom was a nurse when I was a little kid, and she always said, your life can be great. You don't have your health, it doesn't matter. Your health is everything. Nothing unravels a great life. You can have great kids, great job. Don't have your health, it unravels everything. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching the Giants last night, and I went to a Giants message board after the game. I know. I do this once in a while. I want to see the fans' reaction. So Jason Garrett's now totally incompetent. Gettleman needs to be fired. Joe Judge is a boob. He doesn't know what he's doing. Everybody's terrible. Why? Because the quarterback's not excelling. This is everything. Jay Glazer has said this more than once. If you can't get the quarterback right, this is a miserable existence. Bill Belichick cannot win football games now. Okay? Herm Edwards always said, I wouldn't broadcast. If Chad Pennington could stay healthy, I'd be in the NFL still. Once you get the quarterback right, everybody else in the building's a genius. Everybody's a genius. Drew Brees would have made Nick Saban an NFL coach. He couldn't get him. He went to college. Belichick respects Saban more than anybody in football. Have to get it right. Dallas and the Chargers this weekend. 75 to 80% of the fans will be Cowboy fans. But the Chargers, when they moved up from San Diego, ticked a lot of people off. But it's going to work. And it's going to work for one reason. Justin Herbert. This town has 10 pro teams, 2 major college football programs, a great beach. We are completely distracted. Hollywood, several outdoor malls. It's a highly transient town, so people come to this city with their own loyalties in sports. Only one way to cut through and make this thing work. Because we know the Raiders fit in Vegas. It looks right. We know the Rams in St. Louis. It feels bigger. It's going to work. The Chargers thing, they couldn't sell tickets initially. They're playing in a soccer stadium. I mean, Phillip Rivers is good, but it did not look for the first year. You're like, is this going to work? They couldn't sell sponsorships. Justin Herbert's why it's going to work. It's why his coach, who's a rookie, is going to be a coach for a long time. It's why the offensive line, it's good. We're going to say it's great by the end of the year. If the Chargers were just at quarterback, not even bad, just meh, they wouldn't cut through. Nobody would buy tickets. We'd talk Clippers. We'd talk Lakers. We'd talk Rams. We'd talk USC if they got the right coach. We wouldn't talk the Chargers. But if you just get this position right, everybody in the building smarter. And I'm watching them last week. They got a rookie coach and a rookie left tackle and a brand new center and a brand new coordinator, brand new this and brand new that. And Justin Herbert's like, yeah, yeah, we're good here. Four, he was 74% on third down. What? What? 74%. Led the NFL last year passing under duress. So that's why I say, the Giants message board last night, Joe Judge is terrible, fire Gettleman, Jason Garrett's terrible, everybody's terrible. If Justin Herbert quarterbacked the New York Giants, you'd be like, Judge, I told you so, I spotted it immediately. You know, Gettleman gets a bad rap, he's a little goofy, but I like what he does. That's the whole league. You can miss. Pete Carroll has missed on a half dozen first round picks. Pete Carroll's drafting is weird. Russell Wilson, it makes it all work. The human eraser. This is a race of bad stuff. All right, hour three is around the corner, live in Los Angeles on a Friday. Brady Quinn's going to yell at me around the corner. It's the Herd.